All right, so I mentioned a few months ago when we were beginning this, as we were talking about Proverbs, that one of the topics was going to be about gossip, and today we've arrived. Right, so I just want to say the next 2 months or so, just how I planned out Proverbs, and then we're going to get into Romans. Probably next 2 months or so, the sermons are going to be quite difficult, just as a warning, but that's a good thing. Okay, so like today we'll talk about gossip, then next week we'll talk about pride, then we're going to talk about anger, so not necessarily pleasant subjects, and then we're going to get into three sermons on marriage, which might not be easy for some of us, but that's again, it's okay. God loves us. He wants us to walk in his paths. Okay, so the first thing I want to say at the outset here is that gossip, starting it off on an unpleasant note, gossip is awful. Gossip is like cancer. Okay, cancer, we all know that if cancer's not dealt with quickly, it can spread. Okay, gossip functions in much the same way. So we absolutely need to talk about this subject. And I wonder, as I was writing this, I wonder how many friendships, how many marriages, how many family relationships have been harmed or damaged, severely damaged by gossip. And before we get to Proverbs, I think it's necessary to define gossip. I know that before this, I really the definition or trying to think of a definition for gossip was quite fuzzy for me. Sometimes it's hard to define what exactly is gossip. And as it turns out, I was looking at different articles and whatnot. There are many opinions out there that try to define the subject. And what was surprising is that in a number of these articles, they try to list the benefits of gossip. Just as one example, a number of different websites said that gossip strengthens the relationship between the gossiper and the one listening to gossip. Let it be known that the Bible speaks of no benefits of gossip. Okay, maybe modern psychologists and so and such try to list benefits, but gossip is a sin, okay, in the Bible. Now, speaking of definitions, there were some definitions that were so broad as to say that talking about anyone, no matter the content, without them present, is gossip. So I began thinking, is that true? Is gossip that broad of a topic or that broad of a subject? And so I'm going to give an example here. I'm going to pick on Christine and Patrick. So if I say, just think of this, if I say to Christine privately, Christine, Patrick does such a great job on Sundays with the sound system. Is that gossip? He wasn't there for the conversation, according to their definition, but I don't think that that is gossip. Okay, gossip, I think, better defined is talking about someone so as to potentially harm the person being talked about. Talking about someone so as to potentially harm the person being talked about. There is an intent behind the conversation. Now that means the danger about this, with this, is that it means whenever we're talking about someone without them being there, we're probably just a step or two away from potentially gossiping, because many items of discussion could potentially hurt someone else. Okay, so in general, we need to be very careful to not talk about others. All right, so let's think of another example of what gossip may or may not be. Okay, let's say I know someone named Bob. Okay, if someone wants to know about this person named Bob and I say, Bob is from Oneonta, is that gossip? No, right? That's a neutral item of discussion, right? There's no harm in me telling somebody that Bob is from Oneonta if they want to know about him. Now, let's imagine in the future there arises an evil group of people from Lawrence or Otego, or especially Worcester out by that area. Let's not talk about them. Right? Well, let's say that all right, I'm being lighthearted here. But let's say they rise up and they say, we hate the people of Oneonta. Right? So now, if I'm talking with such a person, right, and I have bad intentions towards Bob, then when I say Bob is from Oneonta, now I am gossiping because I'm telling this evil person from Otego or Worcester or whatever that Bob is from Oneonta. Why? To hurt him. To hurt him. Now I'm joking about Lawrence and Otego and Worcester, okay? I have no problem with those little towns. But I hope you see that gossip involves the intent to harm others. So therefore, it can be contextual what we say. Even truths can harm others. Right? There are people who have no business knowing what you know about others. I hope you know that. I was at a church for a while where the people of the congregation, they would tell me that the pastor would go around telling people secrets. Imagine being in a congregation like that. And it wasn't just one person, it was multiple people telling me that. That's a form of gossip, right? Why would you spread secrets? Most likely, there could be two reasons that came to my mind. Most likely to make others think that you're special because you know secret information that not everybody else knows, or you might spread secrets so as to hurt the person with their potentially shameful secrets. In general, though, what can we say in general? You shouldn't go about spreading rumors, lies, shameful truths, or faults of others. Keep those things to yourself. Please, keep those things to yourself. So, like what we've done with all the topics so far in Proverbs, we'll look at what the book has to say about this topic, this awful topic of gossip. All right, so then go ahead. Yep. First point, and the most important point, is that gossip creates strife. Okay, gossip creates conflicts. If you want to avoid conflicts, it is wise to not gossip. Now, if you're a person and you like the occasional argument, then go ahead and gossip and you'll get what you want. Okay, but I think most of us know that gossip rarely stays hidden for long. So when gossip is exposed for what it is, that's when conflict arises. So what we'll do is look at Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, 16, 28, and 26, 20. So now I can read the verses up here. Christine said she offered to fix my my embarrassment of making the font too small. Thank you, Christine. So 6:16 to 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Now, we've talked about this passage before when we talked about honesty and dishonesty. But these, as it says, these are things that in general God hates. In verse 19, pay attention to that, especially the second part of that. It says, God hates someone who stirs up conflict. The NASB and ESV, they say, one who sends out or spreads or sows conflict. So how would you say, how do we think most conflict comes about? Does anybody want to guess? Through words. I don't know if you would agree with that, right? Sometimes conflicts are due to physical acts. Okay, but I would guess that most conflicts come about due to words. I would argue that many times conflict comes about when someone hears what we said about them. Here, thinking of another situation that can lead to conflicts. What happens many times when we disagree with somebody? Sometimes we go around and we talk bad about the person who disagrees with us. Because obviously, and I'm being sarcastic, obviously it's unacceptable if somebody were to disagree with me ever. Okay, so you go around talking bad about someone, and then what happens? So-and-so hears about what you have said about them, and now you've got an argument on your hands. Okay, but let's be clear that God hates it when people purposefully spread strife. Then going on to 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. A perverse person spreads strife. Again, these are very strong words for people who like to cause conflicts. I think it should be obvious by now, and even using common sense, that God doesn't want us to spread conflicts. One of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. It's a good thing to have peace as a goal whenever it's possible. Unfortunately, it's not always possible, but it's good to have peace as a goal. And then it says that a slanderer is someone who separates friends, a gossip. Other versions say, and a slanderer separates close friends. Now, what is slander? Slander is a false statement made about someone in order to damage them. So I think we can say that slander falls under the category of gossip. We can say it like this. All slander is gossip, but not all gossip is slander, right? Slander is a subcategory of gossip. And since we're talking about this, I might as well mention that libel is also a type of gossip. Right? What is libel? Libel is writing something false about someone. And where do we see this a lot? On the internet. Right? On the internet, we see a lot of that. People typing or writing things that they would never say with their mouths. Right? Don't be one of those people that gets on a keyboard and you start writing all these nasty things. Please don't be like that. Right? If you wouldn't say it, then don't type it or write it either. In any case, though, slander, libel, gossip, they separate people. So they do. They separate people. And some people go about gossiping with that exact intention in mind. I don't like you. I don't stand you. So I'm going to talk bad about you with people that care about you. I don't like you, and I don't think anybody else should like you either, for that matter. You know, I hope you see how sinful and evil that type of thinking is. And next is 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. I love that verse. If you got a bonfire going, right, you need more wood to keep it going. When we were first visiting here, Dr. Zerbe helped us out with that process. I think one day we had a bonfire going, and the kids didn't know that you had to keep adding wood to keep it going. Right? If there's no wood, the fire dies out. The gossiper is like wood for a fire. The gossiper is a person that fuels conflict. And it's so sad when you know somebody, and I'm sure we all know people, you know, people that go around spreading lies, spreading rumors, spreading shameful things about others. But if you've got a conflict going on, all you need to do is remove the gossiper and the problem is solved. Or in other cases, all you need to do is distance yourself from the one who's gossiping and the problem is solved. How many of you are familiar with the Lord of the Rings movies? Anybody? Most of you. Some of you aren't. That's okay. So there was a very popular movie series. I don't know. I think the early 2000s, around there. I feel old. The third one in the series is called The Return of the King. Okay, and the main character of the movie is called Frodo. His best friend's name is Sam. And in that third movie, they're led around by another hobbit named Smeagol, also called Gollum. Okay, Smeagol was once a normal hobbit, but he had become this ugly creature due to his obsession with the ring. So Frodo's the main character, but the movie is around, they need to destroy this ring that gives you power. Okay, if you're not familiar with it. In any case, Smeagol is leading Frodo and Sam, his best friend, to a place called Mordor. This is where they have to destroy the ring. It's the only place where they can destroy this evil ring. But along the way, Sam becomes aware that Smeagol is planning on killing Sam and Frodo to get the ring. Smeagol wants the ring for himself. So at one point, Smeagol begins telling Frodo false things about Sam. And so Frodo and Sam have a moment where they separate. Even though they're best of friends, they separate. They can't stand each other for a while because of an argument over Smeagol's lies. So basically, what is Smeagol doing? He's achieving what he wants. He wants to separate them. He wants the ring. He wants to create strife, as we're saying. And he gets it by telling Frodo false things about Sam. He is gossiping about Sam to Frodo. And that's what gossip can do. Gossip creates conflict. It can separate people. It can separate marriages. It can separate the best of friends. Gossip can do all sorts of evil and nasty things. And to all of us here, you know, I know that every church suffers from gossip. I'm aware of that. Right? Wherever you find two or three gathered together, there you will find gossip. Right? But going around talking about someone in a hurtful way is never helpful. It's never helpful. It is sinful. The mature way to go about things is to talk with the person with whom you have a disagreement. That is the mature way of doing things. If you're not going to talk it over, then don't go around talking about it with other people. All you're doing is creating factions. You're creating factions. And if you've gotten to the point where you're not willing to meet with someone over a disagreement, because that can happen sometimes, then I'd say you need more maturity. You need more maturity. Mature people can have difficult conversations. Immature people avoid them. Instead, immature people take the easier route, the cowardly route of going around just talking bad about others instead of sitting down and having a hard conversation. Okay, and on a practical note, if there's somebody here who needs help ever with resolving a conflict, come to me about it and I will help you. I'll be more than happy to help you. Okay, what I don't want here ever are factions. Okay, where we have this group A over here and group B over here, and we have ongoing conflicts because they take the low road of gossiping about the other group instead of talking over whatever it is that's causing an issue in the first place. Rudyard Kipling, he was a famous poet, believe in the 1800s, he wrote a poem where the first line says, "Oh, east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet." I'm taking that line out of context, but we cannot have such conflicts, such occurrences in a congregation. It's wrong. When we say group A is group A, group B is group B, and they'll never meet about anything. That's wrong. It is wrong. It is sinful. It is evil. Okay, so let's move on to the next point here. Gossips, gossipers, whatever, however you want to phrase it, should not be trusted. They should not be trusted. And this is, again, another hard point here. You should not be good friends with a person who's obsessed or loves gossip. Right? The hard part of this, though, is that sometimes, and quite commonly, we form friendships based on gossip. Then you get into a real tricky situation. You form this relationship based on gossip, and now you can potentially destroy your relationship if you no longer want to gossip. Let me say that following Jesus isn't always easy. I think we know that. You may have to lose friends if you choose to follow him. You cannot form friends based on a common interest in gossip. Don't form friendships in general based on something related to sin. So for this verse, for this point, we'll be looking at 11, 12, and 13, and then 20, 19. So the first one, it says, "Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue." Right? It contrasts here a person who can't stand their neighbor and one who keeps silent. It's saying the one who has understanding, they hold their tongue, they keep silent, they don't talk about the other person. Okay, I think it's implying that a person who despises their neighbor, they primarily show it through their speech. And as we've been saying, the thinking goes, "I can't stand you, and someone else needs to know why I hate you." It's not enough to just keep my private hatred. But a wise person, a person of understanding, keeps their mouth shut. I've said this before, sometimes the best answer to any problem is just to keep your mouth closed. And then verse 13, did we not include that here? Let's see. Yeah. I think I'm missing a verse here. Let me check real quick. And the sad thing is that I formed this PowerPoint. I can't even blame it on Christine. Yeah, right. Yeah, a gossip betrays a confidence. That was my fault. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. So we see the same sort of idea, same sort of comparison by implication. A slanderer reveals secrets. We've already talked about what slander means. Okay, a trustworthy person keeps secrets. So therefore, by way of contrast, a gossiper is not trustworthy. Okay, one of the worst things you can do is confide in a gossip. Now, what's odd about us as humans, and this is an important point, sometimes we're foolish enough to think that when we gossip about others with a supposed friend, we never stop to think that that same friend could then go and gossip about us. Let me say that again. When we gossip about others with a supposed friend, we never stop to think that our gossipy friends could ever gossip about us. But that's how it is. If you're friends with a gossip, then it's very likely that that same friend is gossiping about you behind your back. And you likewise may do the same thing. You might gossip about that friend with somebody else. So it becomes this vicious cycle. Just always talking about other people. Like I said at the beginning, gossip is like a cancer. It can spread very quickly. Now, 2019, that one I didn't mess up. One who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Very straightforward. Do not associate with a gossip. And why? Because they reveal things to others that you don't want others to know. So if you do happen to have a friend that you gossip with, you either need to remodel your friendship with that person so that gossip is no longer an essential part of your friendship, or you need to find new friends. If it's a family member of yours, you know, that gossip, then that's different. You can't choose your family. Okay, you're stuck. Then you need to be extra, with family members, you need to be extra careful to not share information with him or her that they could use to hurt others. Right? And if you have to cut conversations short, speaking practically, then do so. Cut your conversation short if that's the only way that's going to keep you from sinning. Hey, this is, again, a sinful matter. Gossip is not, even though sometimes it's considered socially acceptable, it is a sin. All sin is evil in the sight of God. Now, with that being said, don't trust a gossip. That's what we're saying here. Don't confide in a gossip. Be careful with what you say around a gossipy person. And if you are a gossip, then you need to ask for forgiveness and you need to ask God for help to help you become a trustworthy person. Right? So, now the third point. Look at that good food. Last point is that gossip is sinfully attractive. Man. Gossip is sinfully attractive. I wish it weren't attractive, right? But all of us here, right, we know how good it feels to get something off your chest, right? Or to vent to someone, all the while tearing down somebody else. In fact, you know, venting to someone, that particular phrase, is oftentimes viewed as a socially acceptable form of gossip, but it's not really acceptable, right? If you're explaining a problem, looking for help, you're looking to solve a situation, then I think it might be different. But if you're venting just to vent, just to talk bad about somebody else, I don't think it's acceptable, right? Venting just to feel good about yourself, to tear down somebody else, is not okay. No form of tearing down others secretly is okay. Likewise, we all know how good it feels to come away from a conversation when you've learned something new and bad about somebody else. It feels good to talk about others. It feels good to hear something about somebody else, like you have the secret knowledge now. It feels good. Gossip is attractive. It feels good. But many bad things feel good, don't they? Many bad things feel bad or feel good. Our feelings, though, cannot be the basis for how we conduct our lives. Can't be the basis, right? And I hope you know that enjoying gossip points to a problem in us. Let me be clear in that. We have a problem if we enjoy tearing down others with words. And the only verse I have for this, it's actually repeated in another proverb, the same exact words. But the only verse I have here is 18:8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. And this verse shows the attractiveness of gossip. Imagine eating the finest cut of meat or the best tasting cake you can find, or somebody gave us eclairs the other day, right? Something similar. And that's what gossip is like. Fortunately, eating a steak or cake or caviar or whatever, any other food, is not sinful, but enjoying gossip is. And that's the difference. Just realize that enjoying gossip is enjoying the degradation of someone else. And when we degrade someone through our words, we're not acting in love. We're not. And speaking of the church setting, here's a church. A church can't function well when different members gossip about one another. So let me finish here with a story. There was once an old man who lived in a small town and he hated his neighbor. The old man mocked his neighbor for years. The neighbor usually went about his day ignoring the old man and fearing of giving the old man more ammunition to stir things up even further. But then one day, the old man, he instigated an argument with the neighbor, and the neighbor finally stood up for himself. And this displeased the old man. Just as the neighbor figured, the old man proceeded to stir things up even more than he had ever before. Soon, the neighbor began hearing a rumor. The old man began telling people that his neighbor was a thief. The neighbor was very frustrated, as he had never been a thief, and he hated the fact that people even believed this item of gossip. So late one evening, the police knocked on the neighbor's door and took him into custody because he was charged with theft. The neighbor, obviously, he pled his case to the judge and he was released from jail the next day. Angry that the old man had now ruined his reputation, the neighbor wanted justice. So he decided he would sue the old man for slander. So the two of them went to court together. Now, when in civil court, the judge asked the old man why he had spread rumors about his neighbor. And the old man said they were just words. They don't hurt anybody. They never hurt him. The man pled his case to the judge, stating that gossip didn't really hurt the man. And he begged the judge to forgive him for his mistakes. The judge, he listened to the old man's case, and he told the man that he would sentence the man, the old man, the following day. But before his sentencing, the judge requested the old man of one thing. He requested the old man to write on a piece of paper everything he had said about his neighbor, whether true or false. The judge then told the old man to write it down on the paper and then rip up the paper into little squares. And on his way home, he was to throw the little pieces of paper out the car window as he drove along. He then told the old man to be back at the court in the morning to hear a sentencing. And the old man agreed. He wrote down every comment he had made about his neighbor, whether true or false. And he did as he was told. As he was driving back to his house, he threw out the little pieces of paper out the car. The next morning, the old man, he arrived in court to hear of his sentencing, hoping his punishment wouldn't be too harsh. The judge entered the courtroom. He took his seat. And the judge said, he asked, "Did you do as I asked?" And the old man said, "Yes, I did, Your Honor." The old man seemed quite confident in himself. And the judge said, "Now I want you to go and retrieve every piece of paper that you threw out the window yesterday. That will be your punishment." And the old man, he protested. He says, "I can't do that. There's no telling where all those little pieces of paper flew off to. The wind scattered them everywhere." And the old man was frustrated. The judge said, "That's my point. Comments such as the ones you have made can be spread so quickly that they may not be repairable after they're stated. Gossip can destroy a person's honor and reputation, and once destroyed, you cannot always fix it." The old man lowered his head, and he realized he had learned his lesson and went about his way, trying to find all the little pieces of paper he had thrown out the window. Westoniana, I hope that if we have been guilty of regularly gossiping, that we repent of it. That's my prayer. Gossip is like fire. It can destroy a congregation. And even outside of the congregation, it can destroy families, it can destroy friendships, many things, if not dealt with. Right? One of the worst things that can happen to you as, you know, as an individual is if you make one little mistake, you have one little small disagreement, and then somebody else goes around, talks about you, and in churches, a whole congregation can kill your reputation through gossip. That is not how we handle disagreements or mistakes. Let's be mature and talk about these things. Right, don't go around talking about people. And again, if you need help resolving something, I'm always available to help out. If someone going, as my mom would always tell me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right. So let me pray.